Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 52, Winners, Losers, and Quitters. I really dislike that word, quitter. It has a severely negative connotation, and I find that most people have a fear of being labeled by themselves or someone else as a quitter. It's a societal thing, of course. We don't like quitters. No one does. But I fear that many people define it incorrectly. Actually, it's a problem with all those words, winner, loser, and quitter. You've no doubt heard the saying, second place is the first loser. What a horribly inaccurate statement. When I taught middle school, there was a line of t-shirts with supposedly motivational phrases on the back. And I love motivational quotes. I liked them, but this one made me nuts. Anyone who believes they're a loser if they don't win has a sad life ahead. Winning is fun, but the value of sport, all sport, is in the journey. It's what we gain from the journey. Most people will not win, no matter what the sport. If we use the word win in the literal sense, you know that. Is the only winner the one who crosses the finish line first or the one who sets a PR? Of course not. I think you're a winner if you do the best you can on any given day to achieve your goal on that day. If your goal is to get out there and enjoy a race, then having a fast time isn't the goal. Occasionally, one of my runners makes what I consider to be a bad decision, but I try to remember they are grown-ups. If they make unwise decisions during the last couple of weeks before a big goal race, I tell myself this is where running teaches its best lessons. All I can do is provide guidance. And believe me, I've made my share of bad decisions, like the time I did a strenuous 16-mile trail race 2 weeks before the Marine Corps Marathon. I'll never know how much better that marathon could have been, but I do know it wasn't the race it could have been. I made the decision to do that race, the trail race, and I learned from the mistake of doing it. Those lessons may be a bigger benefit, character-wise, than any fitness benefit. And I think putting ourselves out there, learning those tough lessons is just another way we're winners. It would be so much easier to just stay on the couch. At least someone on the outside looking in would say that, but we know better. We all want something different out of running, and each individual's wants and needs tend to change over time, too. There's nothing wrong with that. It's an individual sport. That's part of its attraction. You're a winner if you set personal goals and work to achieve them. The middle of the packers, or back of the packers, or even the last person to finish a race is a winner. After all, isn't it, from a self-image standpoint, very difficult to know you might finish last, and even harder to be that person? Sure, that's tough, and I respect those people a lot. It's actually much harder to be the last person than it is to be the winner. You have to start somewhere, though, and if people weren't willing to risk being last, they wouldn't be able to start competing until much later, and that would be a shame. Someone has to be last in every race. I'd say the winners are the ones who get out there and train every day, or most days, even if they likely will never receive an age group award. The people who are focused on achieving their personal goals. Let me share a story. When I was a high school swim coach, an especially difficult task for me came at the end of each season before our annual banquet, which was usually held in early December. I always struggled with choosing the person most deserving of the most improved award and the coach's award. One year my husband said, "Deb, if it's so hard to decide, just pick one. Obviously, all the ones you're considering deserve it, or it wouldn't be such a hard decision for you." That's when I explained to him about when I grew up on a swim team. I wasn't fast, and I never won races, but I wanted so badly to be good. I trained hard, even putting in extra yardage between practices. And every year, when it came time for the annual banquet, I thought, maybe this is the year. This is the year the coach will give me the coach's award, or most dedicated. I knew in my heart that I couldn't be more dedicated. I couldn't try harder. And even though I never placed in individual events, I did earn lots of points for the team because I swam in lots of relays, and those relays couldn't compete without enough people. My relay never was the one that came in first, but sometimes we took second or third, sometimes by default because the other team didn't have enough people to form that last relay. But still, it helped my team win. We were earning points. Well, anyway, it never happened. I never carried home a trophy, and I never won a race until I was a senior in high school. And the coach of my high school team put me in the 400, which was the longest race they had in high school meets back then. For those of you who are non-runners, that's 16 laps of the pool. Well, I won, and the coach looked at me and said, "Oh, you're a distance swimmer." Unfortunately, we discovered that endurance was my forte a little late in my swimming career. Anyway, that experience has always stayed with me. And as a swim coach myself, I most respected the swimmers who weren't especially fast, who, like me, did not have any natural talent, who weren't likely to finish in the top three, who did not have the automatic reward of knowing that they might take home a first, second, or third place ribbon. The people who came to practice every day and tried hard, they are the ones that I appreciated and respected the very most. They were the biggest winners of all. They may not have known it, but they were. And I'm pretty sure that with that attitude, they went on to be winners in life. So I'll tell you the rest of my story. That year, the year I explained to my husband about why it was so hard for me to pick who was most deserving of the trophies, he gave me a trophy for Christmas. It was about a foot tall, and on the gold plate affixed to the front, it said, "The best wife, mom, teacher, athlete, and coach." It was the best gift I'd ever received. That was in 1989 when I was 36, and it was the first trophy I had ever received for anything in my life. Since then, I've gotten quite a few age group running and triathlon awards, possibly because they're all endurance events compared to most swimming races, which are over in 2 minutes or less. But no award has ever meant or will ever mean as much to me as that one from my husband, David. Maybe that's why we've been married 40 years. So getting back to you, you're a winner because you're getting out there, doing something you believe in, and trying hard to achieve your goals. You're setting an example for your kids, friends, relatives, and coworkers, improving your health, and ensuring that you will continue to have a good quality of life. It doesn't matter whether you're running 5Ks or marathons or just running because it feels good. You're a winner. The next time you stand among hundreds of other runners at the starting line, remind yourself that you'll finish the race ahead of 99% of the population who will never even pin on a number and stand at a starting line. You know, as I think about it, it occurs to me that the soles of those worn-out shoes in your closets are the most perfect proof that you're a winner. Maybe we all realize that deep in our brains, and that's why, even though we love getting new running shoes, we treasure those old ones and we're really reluctant to let them go. They're the evidence of our effort and our passion. And one other thing. Before, I've talked about what the initials DNF mean. In running parlance, they generally stand for did not finish, and people often talk about DNFing as if it's to be avoided at all costs because it makes you a quitter, which makes you a loser. But as I've said before, I think DNF should stand for do nothing foolish. Please don't think you're a loser if you do not finish. The people with the most guts are the ones who are willing to quit when they realize they have an injury. The ones who exercise the most common sense. Those people are winners. It's easier to finish a race and carry home a finisher's medal, knowing you have an injury that you're making worse with every step, than it is to stop and worry that others will think you're a loser, or worry that you will feel like a loser because you quit. It's easier to struggle painfully through the end of a race and claim a finisher's medal than to stop and go home without the medal, even if it's for a very good reason. I think the runners who do that are showing the greatest maturity and common sense, but you won't see that happen often. Not finishing is not quitting. Quitting is when you give up on your goal, whatever that is, because you're not willing to work for it. That's quitting. If you stop in a race because you're injured, it means you'll be able to return sooner to normal training and racing, meaning you'll reach your long-term goals sooner than if you continue in that race and make the injury worse. And the same thing goes for training runs. Sometimes people tell me they're having a pain here or there, and I tell them to stop and call it a day. Go home and ice it and see how it feels tomorrow. But they'll insist, oh, I think I can finish my run. I have, well, let's say 10 miles on my schedule for today, and I've only done 7. Oh, this drives me crazy. Of course, it's critical to stick to your schedule. Consistency is everything, except one thing. If there is even a hint of an impending injury, that takes priority over everything else, including the schedule. Quitting, I think, is, in the big picture, giving up on a goal, a reasonable, achievable goal. That's quitting. Few runners are quitters. Almost none, I'd say. Sometimes they have a bad day. Everyone has bad days and bad runs. Without them, we couldn't appreciate the good ones. No big deal, as long as they return to race again another day. As runners, we really get to know who we are. In any long race, you may have thought, why am I here? Why did I do this? Why did I register for this race? It forces us to evaluate our motivation and our goal. There's no escaping it, but that's a good thing. We're forced to reaffirm our level of commitment with every step. If it wasn't hard, there'd be no point. The harder the challenge, the greater the satisfaction. So second place is not first place, but it certainly is still winning. And so is finishing 1,625th or 350th or 3,523rd. You're still a winner. You get it. And the person who is DFL, by the way, is a winner too. What's DFL? One of my runners used that term just this morning. The D is for dead. The F, well, that stands for a word that I can't very well use here and keep this a family-appropriate podcast. And the L, well, that stands for last. If you're ever DFL, the last person to finish, whether it is in a race or a training run, you still finished ahead of everyone who didn't race or run. So it's really, really hard to run or race and lose. I'd say it's not even possible. You're a winner because you're out there. You're the boss. Whatever you choose to do or not do, it's your decision. When you put 100% into achieving your goal, whatever that is, then you have won big time. Feel good about it. That's all for today. If you live in the state of Florida, I hope you subscribe to the Florida Running and Triathlon magazine. I have a column in each issue titled First Timers. My most recent article was about first-time trail runners, and next time the article will be about first-time runners at summer camp, summer running camp. Now here's today's quote, and I'm sure I've used it before, but it is perhaps the all-time best running quote. It's from John the Penguin Bingham, chief running officer at Runner's World magazine. "The miracle isn't that I finished. The miracle is that I had the courage to start." That's from his book, No Need for Speed, A Beginner's Guide to the Joy of Running. If you enjoy this podcast, I hope you'll go ahead and subscribe to it on iTunes, because like everything else, I want to be as good as I can be, and I'd like to move up to the top of the running category. When you subscribe, that helps move this particular podcast up in the rankings in that category. Also, I hope you'll visit my website, mojoforrunning.com. If you know anybody who's a beginning runner, or if you're a beginning runner, I hope that when you're on that website, you'll buy my book, After Your First 5K. I realize now that that book has been out quite a while, that that headline might be, or that title might be a misnomer. That's a great book for anybody who has done at least one 5K. It's really appropriate for somebody who's between that first 5K and that first half marathon. And by the way, it includes a full schedule, a 6-month schedule to get you from 5K to half marathon at the end of the book. So you can get that at mojoforrunning.com.